Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Stephen Mayakawa. It is the second Sunday of Ordinary Times, and the readings are from Cycle A.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Much to the chagrin of your recently former Newman Chaplain, Father Isaiah Milano, I have to admit that it took me a very, very, very long time to warm up to J.K. Rowling's book series, the Harry Potter series. Yes, I suppose you could indeed say that for a while there, I was a Harry Potter, forgive me, hater. I saw many of my brothers begin to read the books and all and get very enthusiastic about the series, apparently very well written, and I would give them a hard time, as we brothers do to one another, and saying, "Come on, it's a children's book and everything. If you want to read a real story, here, read the Bible," right? Which is, of course, the holy and annoying thing to say to your fellow brother priests. But nonetheless, I found myself cornered one day where several of the brothers were going to go out to see a movie, and not wanting to be the wet blanket, I said, "Oh, sure, I'll come along," without first asking what movie it was going to be. And indeed, it was one of the Harry Potter movies. And so I'm in the car, and we're driving, and what is it we're going to see? And it's like, oh, we're going to go see, actually, this is a while ago now, I think it was the third, I can't even remember what the third one was. But anyway, I thought, "Oh man, you got to be kidding me, pull over." I started complaining and saying all these things and giving them a very hard time about dragging me to see Harry Potter. So we saw the movie, and driving home, I was kind of quiet. And the brothers noticed I was kind of quiet. And one of the more outspoken ones said, "Hey Steve, did you like the movie?" Apparently I did. And I said, "Well, yeah, it was okay." And they began to rib me and give me a hard time about liking the movie and everything. And I said, yeah, I kind of brushed it off. Well, sure enough, it was pretty enticing. So I have to admit that slowly and very quietly, I started reading some of the books, right? That third movie was kind of hard to understand without greater detail there. So I kind of sneaking some books here and there and starting to read it, making sure that the brothers didn't see me do it. And admittedly, very, very much after a while, I was able to say, well, these are very well-written books. And yes, I do have an appreciation for them, and I do want to actually see how the series ends. I think we can all, those of you who are familiar with the series, know that She did a very good job of seeding the storyline with many clues and hints about what was going to take place and what was going to happen. And part of the interesting part is to go back and actually discover some of these areas that might have been missed the first time when we read the books or talked about it with others. Well, in the second Sunday of the ordinary season, last Sunday we celebrated the baptism of John the Baptist, baptism of Jesus, we begin a new chapter in Jesus' life. We hear John testifying today. John is the last and final prophet of the Lord, and he is sent specifically to prepare the way of Christ, to prepare ears and hearts and souls and minds to hear the word that Jesus will preach, to see the words that Jesus will live with his life. And yet John is one of those very misunderstood persons where only after the fact, after we see the life of Christ, after we see the miracles, we see him walk on water, we see his walk to the cross, and we see the empty tomb, and we see the descent of the Holy Spirit, that we begin to have an understanding of what John was talking about from the very first. And so today we hear him say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I baptize with water for repentance. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' And now that I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." And so we find in John's testimony actually nothing really being hazy or foggy. He is very clear. John and his mission explicitly states, reveals, begins to speak of the identity of God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he declares very straightforward, in a very straightforward manner, that the intention of God with Jesus is our salvation. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And yet I think our own experience with the Holy Scriptures, it's only after we read the life of Christ, after we read about the life of Christ, that we can go back and actually see what John meant with these words, kind of like we do with books and novels and stories. We review back to the introductions and read into it and say, "Oh yeah, they said it right here. I just didn't understand. It wasn't fully apparent to me what those words exactly meant." And in fact, I was sharing earlier in one of the morning masses, I actually said that. I remember in high school, the first time I tried to read the Bible, I tried to cheat. I tried to do the college student angle. I read the table of contents with all the books. I read Genesis and I read Revelation, hoping that if I read the beginning and the end of the Bible, that somehow I would get a good idea of pretty much what happens in the middle, right? It didn't work. And there was a lot more work to do in reading, especially the Gospels. But when we talk about the forgiveness of sins and knowing the identity of God, how does Jesus reinforce what John first tells us? Well, we see it by what Jesus does. He heals. He heals blind people. He gives their sight back. He allows the crippled and lame to walk again. He makes sick people feel better, and he brings people who have died back to life again. The daughter of the servant of the centurion. We see Lazarus walking out of the tomb. We see Jesus feeding people, multiplying food, loaves, fishes, different circumstances, sustaining people, nourishment of body. And of course, we see him freeing people from the influence, from the possession of demons. And so he also casts out demons. And so when we talk about what it means to know the identity of God and the intention of God, it's in the activities of Christ and the gospel that give us greater clarity to what that means. Healing, the forgiveness of sins. We see healing of body, but in the forgiveness of sins, there is the healing of spirit, the removal of obstacles, those things that block our way to be close to God. Feeding. It's in body with multiplication of food, but what we really are talking about, the feeding of the mind, that we were made to know, understand, and see the divine being and appreciate the divine being for being divine, that we could know God and in knowing God, love God, that we could be spiritually nourished by that and see a resonance in ourselves being made in the image and likeness of God, resonate with God himself. And then, of course, the freeing, that in being healed and being fed in the multiple ways we can be fed, that we are given true freedom for grace to build upon our nature so that we can become that man or that woman that God calls us to be. It's just kind of neat. We see Jesus putting all these things into action, putting meat and bone, you know, putting flesh on the skeletal framework that John begins to speak of. Now, as vocations director for the Western, for the Dominicans in the Western United States, you might recognize my visit every, well, it's been actually a little longer than a year since I last visited the community, but I do speak with a lot of men and women who are asking the question, what is it that God wants me to do with my life? For some of you students and young adults, I think that's a very valid question to be asking, and I think I might have said it once here, but it's worth repeating again. You know, young people often say to me, well, Father Steve, does God have a plan for me? And of course, I'm always going to say, yeah, of course God has a plan for you. And if the person's young and a little bit naive, sometimes I mess just a little bit just to help get the point across. And I'll say, I don't know what that plan is that God has for you. And I kind of make it dramatic. I look over my shoulder and lower my voice and everything. And I say, do you want to know what that plan is? And they say, yeah, I want to know what that plan is. And I say, the plan of God for you is for you to stay close to God. And their face kind of drops, and they feel kind of cheated, like they've been suckered in, which they kind of were. And to say that the first plan of God is that he doesn't give you something that causes you to run away and see yourself as self-sufficient. Thanks for the instructions. Thanks for the gifts. I'll do my best, and I'll talk to you later. The first plan of God is to make sure that we stay close, because it's in the plan that John reveals today, talking about the identity of God and the intention of God. God won't reveal himself or his plans if it wasn't to include him being close to us and us being close to him. And in that proximity of closeness, rather kind of the linear idea of plans that we so often have, of details of who, what, where's, and when's, and those decisions that follow and a progression down a certain line of thought or reasoning, we find that our closeness to God first helps us to know who God is. Intellectually and spiritually. And in knowing God, begin to trust in God and see how God invites us to share our life with him. And in that, indeed, does come details of the who, what, where's, and when's. But first, it's with the understanding that those details can only really be understood when looked at, viewed together with the Lord. There are many different callings in life. In the life of a Catholic, good, happy, fulfilled Catholic. Doesn't mean life is always good and happy, but it means that we're connected solidly with the Lord and doing that which God calls us to do. We talk about the married life, the sacrament of marriage. We talk about the single life. We talk about religious vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience to be a religious brother or sister. We talk about the priesthood. And all of these are many ways in which God calls us to be faithful men and women and to serve, not only serve faithfully, but also to our own happiness and fulfillment as well. Very often when people think of a call to the priesthood or the brotherhood or the sisterhood, there's an image of it being some secret mystery of a particular very special call that the person answers and in doing so receives a certain personal fulfillment. And that indeed is part of it. It is a personal call. But beyond that, it is also a very, very public need. Though not many are called to the priesthood or to the religious life of a brother or a sister or a nun, it is a very important dimension to the fullness of our Catholic community, to what it means to be church. The different callings in life, whether it's the married life or the single life or the priesthood or the religious life, all reveal certain facets about God's beauty, truth, and goodness in their own particular challenges and joys. And one of the signs that we are living our particular call in life is that we can see another person living theirs faithfully and say, ah, there is virtue, there is sacrifice, there is a Christ-like love that inspires me to want to be better and more faithful in my own calling. And so when I talk to communities about a vocation, while it's nice to hear and say, it's actually we have to identify the reality that it's also essential to the fullness of life that God wants for us. That we have a fullness of vocations to all the callings in life. That we have many brothers and sisters and priests serving in the church, deacons and nuns. The religious life is a specific of brother or sister, is a specific reminder that this world is a passing world, and that there is another world beyond, and that there are good things of this world worthwhile to put aside as a testimony to say, express one's firm belief in the life and the future glory and the promises of God to come. And the religious life is also a wonderful example of how God's grace can work, despite the messages of the world sometimes saying, demanding, telling us what we think we should need. And so the desert can appear so barren of the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience can actually be tremendously rich and freeing. Well, we even hear that about Catholic converts, those who join the Catholic Church. From the outside, adult converts will say, well, it looks so difficult. There are so many rules. There are so many things that you read about the church and everything. Who ever thought that once becoming a member and receiving baptism in the Eucharist, that it would be so, so rich and so full and so beyond what my immediate vision perspective could perceive. And so to those of you who are still discerning God's call in your life, you know, I ask you, make a generous offering to the Lord. Consider, offer to God that you would be willing to serve the Lord in whatever capacity that the Lord would call you. Recognizing that there is a need, very much a need for religious brothers and sisters and ordained priests and deacons to serve in our church. I invite you to speak with any of the Newman ministers, whether it's any of the priests or the lay staff, to talk about what it means to pursue discernment of a religious vocation. It might not lead you to that final calling, but it certainly will be a next step in the fulfillment of God's plan in your life, because that generous offering will draw you more closely to Jesus, will make you more available to be drawn closer by his call and his grace to him. Be more receptive to receive whatever enlightenment or instruction or blessing that would guide you to that final vow, to those final promises, to those final commitments in your future life.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.